Mother's Day to all you mothers.
Why, thank you.
All right. So today.
Jim says he can't sit by Shelly anymore.
I agree. I understand. I understand. Is this some kind of accountability? All you got to do is be an example. I was going to use you and abuse you up here on this road. So, all right. Today is going to be a conversation. More, not really a conversation. I'm going to do all talking. Occasionally, Mindy might help me. But this is going to be a little bit untraditional from what I'm... my normal thing, but I heard a teaching several months ago about the purpose and the power of a woman. It kind of got in my space on some theology that I had, and I've listened to it several times since then and really pondered it and thought about it and put it in my blender and mixed it up. And so I'm going to throw it at you today, and it's going to mess with you a little bit. It's really good, so just take the goods out of it. I'm excited, but it's kind of like these one-liners. Like, you know how Proverbs got one-liners that are just, like, you're just going along, and it's wisdom, and all of a sudden, it's like, it's not even the subject, it's like drops this line, it's just this one-liner, but it has so much depth. And so this teaching had this line in there. It said, whenever purpose is misunderstood, abuse is inevitable. Whenever purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. So if you don't know what the purpose of something is, then abuse is inevitable. If I take a VCR home and get in my bathtub with it, it's probably not going to work out very well, is it?
For
either one of us. Mindy'd be trying to plug it in. So, I want this to be kind of fun and spirited this morning because I think it's a very interesting topic, and it's really awesome. Honestly, there's some real meat in here. So, I'm gonna just jump in here. So, I think that with that one liner kind of start and open up with that, the purpose of a woman. We know that God's a God of purpose, right? He didn't do anything without purpose. So everything that he does has purpose. And so I got to speak at a wedding yesterday, and I've spoken at a couple weddings now, and something jumped out to me in the first time I preached a wedding was that when God got to Adam, he looked at him and he said it wasn't good. It wasn't good for man to be alone. And so I felt, that just kind of stopped me. I read over that so many times in my life. And then when I was reading it, and I'm like, good night. That's a major statement from God. To look at something he just created and go, it's not good. Like everything that he had made before that, and I hope my posture, I'm just relaxed today. I'm just chilling, okay? Just sharing. Today I'm just sharing with you. So God said something that he made wasn't good. But before that, everything he had done, he'd get done with it. He'd be like, that is good. I'm like it. I'm ready for tomorrow. Gets up next day, makes it. That is good. I like it. Gets up the next day. That is good. I like it. It's awesome. But he gets to man. He makes man. He makes man in his own image. He makes man in his own image. And when he gets done with him, he looks at him. He's like, it isn't good for him to be alone. It's not good. Who did he make man after? His own image. Himself. So, if it's not good for man to be alone, it's not good for God to be alone. So purpose, original purpose for us is that so God would not be alone. God wanted to have some free will agent that was created in his image, just like him, so that he wasn't alone. So the very thing that was not good for us was not good for him. And so through all these weddings, the Lord showed me, he's like, I am telling my story. I'm telling my story to you through you. that who you are and what you desire is who I am and what I desire, because you're created in my image. Now, here's where I'm going to start meddling with you. Do you know there's two creations in Genesis? There's a creation in chapter 1 and there's a creation in chapter 2. Let me ask you a question. Is this body me? Is this body me? Is this beard me? Let me grab yours and say, is this beard Matt's?
You can reverse it if you want to try it.
I'm all right. This body's not me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. This body is just a vehicle. Okay? So when I start talking about purpose and creation in Genesis chapter 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created he them. So he created man, male and female, and he called the whole species man. There was men and women in there. But they didn't have a body yet. He didn't create their body. He didn't create a man and a woman. Told you shouldn't sit up here. Just teasing. He didn't create a man and a woman's body. He created who we are, spirit, soul. He created men and women, spirit and soul, in the first chapter. I'm not preaching gospel. I'm preaching so you guys could sort this out for yourself. I'm suggesting, okay? I'm still sorting this out in my own self because this was how this was presented. He didn't form man's physical body out of the dirt till chapter 2, but he made men and women. He made their spirit. He made them. Made all men and women. All men and women. He made them male and female, and he put them in one man. Okay? So in chapter 2, he carves him out of the dirt, and he forms him. Because he gives him a charge. He makes him. He talks to him. He tells him he's going to put him in this physical creation and everything. And he charges him, he tells him he's going to work the ground, he's going to multiply, he gives him a list of things, he's going to have dominion over the animals, he's going to name the animals. He gives him all these charges. He's making this physical world. But man's created in God's image, and God's not physical, and he's not flesh. Got it? We're spirit and we're flesh. We're spirit and flesh, but we're not flesh yet, we're just spirit. And man says, if I'm going to operate down there, you got to make me a house to operate down there. So God carves him out a house. And he makes him. And that's when God looks at him and says, it's not good. So he puts man in this body. He breathes him into this man. This man comes alive. And this man is women and men. And he's you and he's me. Because there was one man made. How many people are on the earth? 7.9 billion people on the earth. And how many people have been before that? They said about 7 billion, so about 14 billion people. There was 14 billion people in that one man because every man came from that man, just like a kernel of corn. So when God did that, he put all men into that man. All of us males and females. And there is no levels of male and female in the spirit realm. Okay? And when you're not a physical woman until you're a physical woman, you're not a physical male until you're a physical male. And Jesus said, they said, well, who am I going to be married to? They challenged him. Who am I going to be married to after the resurrection? He said, there's no giving in marriage afterwards. That's for a physical realm. In the spiritual realm, it doesn't really matter if you're female or male. It matters in your soul and in your spirit of who you are and what you're bringing to the table, but not physically. So he makes man with his purpose, and he looks at him, he says, it's not good. It's not good for him to be alone. So I'm going to put him to sleep, and I'm going to fix the not good. So he grabs him, he throws him on the ground, he puts him to sleep, he reaches in. They say it's a rib, it's not really. He takes a part of the man, he pulls it out, and he seals it off with flesh, and he makes woman. Why do you do that? God has a purpose. has a purpose for everything that he does. And he said it wasn't good for man to be alone. Why didn't he just grab another man? Why didn't he just reach in there and grab and split him in half and make two men? He made something totally different. And so when they were standing there, and then he says he makes woman and he presents woman to man, and man's like, okay, let's see what you've done here. I'm liking it. There's a couple differences. I'm good with the differences. He presents it to him, and Adam says, yeah, I want her. Yeah, I want that. And he says, yes, good. Because he could have been like, yeah, so? Can you make me a motorcycle? He didn't. He liked it. So God presents the woman to the man. And he's like, I'm in with that. Why did he do that? Why did God do that? He had a purpose. He had a purpose for man, and he had a purpose for woman, and he was going to make what he said was not good, good. And so he takes the woman out of the man. So now we have this woman. What is her purpose? So you go to chapter 2, and I might just tell you, because I don't even have these scriptures wrote down. I'm just talking. In chapter 2, it says Adam's name and all the animals. Okay? He's going down through there, and he says, he gets to the end, and it says, there was not one found for Adam. So he was naming the giraffe, the elephant, the scorpion, the armadillo. He's going through everything. He gets to the end, and there's not one found for him that's like him. What does that tell you? He was looking. He was looking. Is there anything like me? Looking. Yep, let's call that one giraffe. Let's call that one elephant. That's a tiger. Bring me the next one. He's looking for something similar to him. And there wasn't one found. There was one not found to be helpmeet for him. Okay? So, all men is in this Adam. All man. All of us. So, how many of you are familiar with the Levitical priesthood? Couple? Kelly. Kelly knows. All right. The Levitical priesthood was, in order to be a priest in the Jewish nation, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. So, do you know that Jesus is a priest? Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he's a Jew. And it is outside of the Jewish law for him to be a priest in the, unless he's a Levite. And he's not a Levite because he's a Judahite, which is not, he's from the tribe of Judah. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. So he cannot be a Jewish priest because he's not a Levi. But he is a priest. He's a king and a priest. And he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So how do we get around this? Well, if you go read, you find out that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Okay? And Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, making him a priest. And when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, now this is getting deep and crazy, but there's a point here. Then Abraham, whoever pays tithes up, he's the lesser. So if Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, then Melchizedek was greater. Okay? So, whoever pays tithes, they pay him up. So, Melchizedek's priesthood was greater than Abraham. And inside, the Bible says that inside of Abraham's loins were the 12 tribes. He had them inside of him. Levi, it says that through Abraham, Levi's priesthood paid tithes to Melchizedek, making that priesthood in subjection to that priesthood. So the Levitical priesthood is underneath the Melchizedek priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood is higher because Abraham had Levi in his loins when he paid that tithe. That means that Abraham didn't even know Levi. That was his great-great-great-grandson was carrying him around in his bowels. What? All that seed. So the Bible, there's Bible that all man was in Adam. God made one man. There's 7 billion of us here. He made one man one time. And he put all within to populate the earth in that man. Except one thing. He couldn't do it by himself. Okay? So the purpose of a woman is to help that man get that man out of that man. The reason he made a woman is because man can't get the man that's inside of him out. It takes a woman to get the man on the inside of the man out. That's a big purpose. It's a big deal. You think about that. Without women, there is no other men. And Adam's walking around with all of us in there, and we can't get out. Number one purpose of a woman is to help a man get the men out of him. Okay? Number two, she's a helper. He needs help. If you're a man, you need help. You need help. Somebody else said that. There was not a suitable help meet mate for him. They looked. There was not somebody there to help him. He needed help because he can't do what he's called to do without her. She was made for him. And she had some different parts. And we won't describe those parts. But one of the parts we'll describe was that she had a womb. A woman had a womb. Woman. Womb man. Wombed man. A woman. She could take something that the guy gave her, hold it inside of her, give it life, multiply it, and give it back to him. That's the purpose of a woman. Number one purpose of a woman is to help man get man out of man. Number two purpose is she's there to help him. Number three purpose is she's to take whatever he gives her, give it life, multiply it, and give it back. Think about that. Whatever you give a woman, she will multiply it and give it back to you. You give her some ingredients, she'll take it to the kitchen, she'll multiply it, she'll bring it back to you. You give her your seed, she'll incubate it, she'll make a baby, she'll bring you kids. Whatever you give a woman, it is her job, it's her purpose to take whatever that is. She takes it, she works with it, she thinks about it, she marinates on it, she gives it life, she brings it back. She doesn't even know she's doing it because that's what she was created to do, because that's her purpose. When purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. When purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. When we don't understand the purpose of what a woman is, the woman will abuse the woman, the man will abuse the woman, and creation will abuse the woman, and that goes for everything. That goes for man, too. Man has a purpose, and man doesn't know what man's purpose is necessarily either, and so man tries to figure it out. And so who can tell something what its purpose is? Only the Creator. So what happens is product from the Creator goes and asks other product, what are we? What are we supposed to be? And guess what? I'll tell you, we are, by golly, we're this, or we're by golly that. We don't decide what we are. We don't get to tell what our purpose is. We don't get to decide. We live in a society right now who thinks they're deciding what is what and what the purposes are. They aren't the Creator. It's like two cars asking each other what their purposes are. Like, we need to ask the guy that built the car what the purpose is. He's got a purpose. Because the people that are out there like us who don't understand our purpose, guess what? Abuse is inevitable. Whatever you give a woman, she's going to multiply it, give it life, and bring it back to you. If you give her frustration, she will multiply it. Give life to it and give you hell. Guaranteed. When we understand purpose, we start to understand what God's intended plan was. We can work with it. It opened my eyes, caused me to think differently. When I don't like what's coming out of my wife, I probably need to change what I'm giving to her. Because she's multiplying whatever I'm giving her, and she's bringing it back. And I don't like that. I don't want to say this. That's going to come back to haunt me before the day's over, probably. She's going to multiply that, give it life, and bring it back to me, what I just said. But it's the truth, because that's the purpose of a woman. The purpose of a woman is to help a man. Okay. Power of a woman. Men lead, women influence. There's a whole bunch of women trying to lead. You don't need to lead. Your purpose was never to lead. It's to influence. The Bible's full of it. Abraham stands audibly hears God. Your seed's going to be like the stars of the heaven. I'm going to multiply you. You're going to have kids, and it's going to be awesome. And Abraham's like, oh, that's awesome. I believe you, God. And I believe you. And God's like, you're awesome. I count it unto you as righteousness. He goes home. He tells Sarah. She's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's do something different. He's like, okay. Think about that. Start out day one. Adam, hey, man, I built a spread for you. I mean, it's nice. Like, it's got everything. Like, this place is decked out. Don't eat that tree right there. Everything else you could do, don't eat that tree right there. Everything here is awesome. Like, if you don't do that, this is going to be great forever. Woman's like, hey, you want a bite? Yeah. Sure. I don't think we're supposed to do that. Yeah, I know, it's all right. It's fine. Go ahead. King Herod. John the Baptist. King Herod loved John the Baptist. That woman cut his head off. Okay. What is going on? We're not talking about weak men here. We're talking about King David, Bathsheba. We're talking about powerful men, men of God, led astray by a woman. Now, I'm not making you bad. I'm telling you what your power is. You can use it for good, Linda. She's glaring at me.
I can feel it coming from my head.
Women have influence because men who are leading can't really do it that well without somebody talking sense into them about stuff. You have a purpose. Your purpose is that I'm not good by myself. Like a woman was made for me. I am a tire fire by myself. And I'm still smoldering with her. But I'm not burning out of control. She influences me. I'm telling you, the number one influence in my life is God. The number two influence in my life is her. And most of the time, they're together.
Which isn't fine.
No, it's not. But I'm telling you that she influences me. I'm leading. But I'm not leading blindly. Even when I don't like it, she's influencing me. Even when I am 100% against what she just said and I get in the truck and I am ticked leaving, I'm like, I can't do this because she is this and I can't go forward because my principles and my doctrine and my religion, because she's influencing me. Because she has influence. and power. We don't need to try to be each other. Women don't try to need to be men, and men don't try to need to be women. We have a purpose, a God-given purpose to be who we are, and it's holy, and it's right, and He wanted it that way. So, am I leaving anything out, men? Huh? I'm going to flip the script here a little bit. As I'm thinking here through this all, I start seeing this picture. This marriage thing where God puts this man with this woman, and the charge is to be fruitful, multiply, and it can't happen without it. Now, I understand what's going on in the world right now. I understand that there's perversions going on in the world. They can't procreate. At the end of the day, the purpose is to procreate. Okay? And so the original intended purpose, you can go along and say, oh, well, I changed my purpose. I don't feel like that. I'm not going to be that. That doesn't change. You could stick your head in the sand all you want. You are what you are. You are what the Creator made you to be. And He had a purpose for you. And with that being said, that's where fulfillment comes, is when you hit that purpose. But I started thinking about this whole marriage thing. And I understood that God was trying to tell us something through marriage, because He even says it. You go to Ephesians and He gives all the instruction about marriage, and He tells you, you know, husbands submit to your, or wives submit to your husbands. Husbands love your wives, blah, blah. He goes, all this instruction about marriage. He gets down to the end and says, yeah, but I'm telling you a mystery. I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm actually talking about what it's supposed to look like with us and God. Okay, we are the bride of Christ. We're the female part of Christ. We are the womb man of Christ. We are the wombed man. We have a spiritual womb. And whatever Jesus gives us, we're supposed to incubate it, multiply it, and give it back to Him. That's awesome. So we are, this marriage thing is a picture of what we're supposed to be with God. This is what God intended for us, and the only way that He could show it to us was create marriage and say, look, this is what it's supposed to look like with me. The desire you two have for each other, the intimacy you share with each other, the fruit that you have with each other, everything you have with each other, that I did that and I made it like that so you could see what my plans and purposes were for you, because before it wasn't good for you to be alone, it wasn't good for me to be alone. I didn't have the female part of me that could take what I was, pull it in, incubate it, give it life, and bring it back to me. God couldn't do that without a wombed man. Our purpose is to take what God gives us, incubate it, give it life, multiply it, and bring it back to Him. That's awesome. That's our purpose. When purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. That will never leave me. That will stick with me. There's one-liners that I have. That's going in the book. Because when I'm outside of my purpose, I'm abusing what my planned... Anybody ever used a crescent wrench as a hammer?
Yours.
Yeah. What happens to a crescent wrench when you really use it as a hammer? It doesn't work. It smashes the threads on it. You can't use it anymore like that. So if somebody come in, if I went to Matt's house and I started beating on his brake drums with his 12-inch crescent wrench as hard as I could, I'll bet you he would stop me and be like, that's not the tool for that. Use the hammer, and I'll take this from you, because you are abusing that thing, right? You'd stop me, wouldn't you? Would you tackle me?
You just wouldn't do it.
I would if I had a new one to give you. So anyways, listen. We're all abused. At some point, we've misused ourselves, and we've misused others. And abuse is inevitable when when purpose is not in our mind. It helps me with my wife to understand. This teaching helped me understand a little bit differently, a different perspective about her. And so, I don't like everything that I learned. I'm not happy about everything that I learned, but I understand it. I understand what her purpose is for me. And honestly, because I understand what her purpose is for me, I understand what my purpose is for God, which is the bigger point, which is that he's telling us his story to us, through us, because he wants to multiply us. He wants us to multiply. It is the parable of the sower. It's all coming together the whole weekend. The parable of the sower, at the end, he says, some seed fell on good ground, and that seed turned into 30, 60, 100-fold. He wants his seed to fall in good ground. Someone who will take it, incubate it, give it life, multiply it, and give it back. That's the purpose and the power of a woman. And it's the purpose and a power of our position as the bride of Christ. That we have a womb. And we can take what the Lord gives us and multiply it and get back to him. And that's what he wants. That's what his desire is. And if you don't believe me, go read the sermon of sower, or the parable of the sower. That is the purpose of it. It's awesome. So, that's it. I'm out of gas. Is there anything else? That's a very interesting point. I didn't see that. So we've seen this is Nick and I had a long discussion yesterday on the phone about this, and I'm not going to get into it because it's deep well. That God can be influenced. We see that in Scripture. Think about that. God's leading, he's making the decision, he has ultimate autonomous power to do whatever he wants. But he has been influenced by us. That's a great point. He loves us so much that he allows us to influence him. That's pretty powerful. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your awesomeness. We just thank you that your well is so deep. And I appreciate it. I love it. And so, Lord, help us to be your womb and help us not to abuse each other and understand your purposes for us. And that we may fulfill all that you've called us to do. Lord, that we may multiply as you intended us to do. Lord, let us take what you have given us, incubate it, give it life, and bring it back to you so that your word does not return void. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.